This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So let's get to the beginning as we talk about the events here. And we could dovetail to the original show into this one. How did you and Holly pick out places where something is likely to happen? Is it because of a history?
Sure, yeah. You have a listener in the forum, Harry Newton, goes by the tag Han or Han. And he asked in the question thread, hello, are there any local to Halifax, Nova Scotia water, sea-related ghosts? Ghost ships, ghost spirits, ghost animals, whatever. And the short answer is yes, yes, yes. There is no problem finding haunted houses in Nova Scotia or, you know, the Atlantic Canadian provinces. It's like New England. There's a reason Stephen King sets all his novels, you know, in New England, because there's a rich history of this kind of stuff in our region. We don't have a problem. Like, we turn locations away, and we've been renewed for a second season and a third season. So we've got, and that's going to be, what is that, 14 locations? Right. So we've already got those locations more or less planned out in our mind where we want to go. And we're always willing to have folks say, hey, you know, my house is haunted or whatever, would you come here? But there's no question, you know, you get to pick and choose. It's great, right? I get to pick and choose between the best locations and the ones that I think are going to be the most interesting for television, but also the ones that maybe have a story that I connect to or Holly connects to, and we find it personally interesting. So you will always want to go to a place that has a good story, some history tied to it, and that you maybe somehow connect to. And so those are the kind of locations that we search out, because we're the ones that are going to have to go in there and actually go on camera and experience this and go through it. So like we did one seminary house, which is a university residence at Acadia University here. Both Holly and I went to Acadia University. I went there a lot. I went there 16 years before she did. But she actually lived in seminary house, and I dated a girl that lived in seminary house. So it turned out we were both more than happy to go back to Acadia and relive some, you know, fond memories. But also we were familiar with seminary house, and so it was personal to us. Turns out, not to give away a spoiler, but Holly never knew she had actually lived in the haunted room in seminary house. And she didn't know that when she was a student. But when they walked us through and said, oh, yes, this is the – and Holly went, that's my old room. So those are fun kind of little things that happen that you don't really realize until you go back. So that's kind of how we pick the locations. And, you know, it's the places that we're familiar with or interested in going to, or in one or two cases, places that just frankly seemed really creepy. There's an old jail in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, that I swear has to be an environmental hazard. It's long abandoned. There was no heat, no lights, no electricity, no running water. So we did everything on batteries, and then we had to go down the road to use the bathroom at the local Tim Hortons every time we wanted to do that. But you know what? That was a really fun place. It might have shortened our lives. I don't know what we were breathing in. But it was just really creepy and cool. And sometimes really creepy and cool, that's interesting too.
I was just noticing, looking at this, I didn't realize this before. When you go on with Holly, she is a giant. She's like an Amazon. She's taller than the woman who played Wonder Woman. She's like 5'11 or something like that.
Yeah, she's taller than me, and she could kill all of us. She's in good shape. She just got back about a month ago from hiking the Inca Trail. So she's in a lot better shape than I am. So we try and give her all the more physically challenging segments in the show, because I'm old. You know, I just turned 50 this year, so I'm not as spry as I used to be 9 years ago. But yeah, Holly's in good shape. There's no question about that.
So this way, she's the one who can fight the ghosts.
Now, yes.
Before we get to case histories, roughly speaking, you scope out a location. What are the chances that during the course of your filming, something's going to happen at that location?
Pretty good, because something always seems to happen. Because, you know, maybe Chris can chime in here, because again, it circles back to the trickster idea. I actually am not convinced that the location is all that important. Sometimes maybe it is. But I tried to do this season to do Haunted differently. Ghost Cases was very much in the sort of line of all other ghost shows. Location by location by location, you'd come in, you do your thing, you pack up, you leave, show over. I wanted to do it more like a dramatic series. Not that we're faking anything or making stuff up, so that there would be a through line. I wanted to delve into the characters, to our experiences, and I wanted to carry that, because it did for Ghost Cases. You know, Holly and I carried stuff with us from episode to episode, and it builds. We just never talked about it. Well, I wanted to do this one differently. So each episode sometimes references previous episodes or things that happen, and it all leads to a cliffhanger episode ending season one, the 13th episode, where something really frightening happens. And I think what we had experienced in multiple locations led up to that. But the idea that we kind of had as we went along and did this was that maybe we weren't experiencing individual ghosts at a particular location. Maybe something was traveling with us and interacting with us at each of these locations, sometimes in different ways. But we started to notice some patterns and some commonalities between our experiences in these different locations. And that was really freaky once you start to come to that conclusion. We would joke too, you know, like there might not be any ghosts here when we show up, but we're pretty sure there will be when we leave. And there were one or two locations where we said we're kind of hoping we leave whatever's following us, because, you know, we started talking about things like demons and bad stuff. Our poor camera person, Dylan Garland, who is a young protege of mine, kind of became our third cast member as the season went along, because Holly and I kept throwing stuff at him, you know, saying to ghosts, come not possess. Holly actually asked a demon to come possess me. Ugh, Holly. But, you know, like I was on stage at one location, a haunted theater, and I said, you know, if you're here, Mrs. Gorm, come down here. Bring it on. Pause. To Dylan. And then I pointed at him, and he's standing on stage, and you see him on one of our closed-circuit TV cameras that was monitoring us. He just walks away. He's like, that's it, I've had it. And he quit for all of about 18 seconds. It was like the Let It Be sessions. He was like George Harrison. He walked out but came back. And, you know, I said, I take it back, bring it all on to me. He felt this rush of cold when I said that to him, as did I. As soon as I took it back onto me and said, you know what, I'm sorry about that, I felt like super cold. The temperature dropped. Holly recorded a bunch of EMF spikes, which we all see on television, but nobody else felt anything. It was like I was surrounded by cold, but everybody else said, we don't feel anything. It's a fairly warm theater, actually. And I said, I'm freezing. And then, you know, I fled the stage kind of thing. But that happened over and over again. And as Dylan in particular, who's a great kid, became more involved not only in shooting the show, but also in experiencing some of this stuff, you know, he and I developed the kind of rapport that Holly and I used to have when 9 years ago, and we still have. But this idea that Dylan and I would sometimes say, let's go do this together, even if we're not on camera. Let's just go see what's down here. And then weird stuff would happen, and then we'd have to go run and get the camera and try and film it. So, you know, that idea that it's happening to you because of you, maybe because you've opened yourself up to it, and maybe something's traveling with you as you go along, as opposed to you show up at this place and it's the ghost of Aunt Myrtle, and you show up at that place, it's the ghost of Charles Tupper, former Canadian Prime Minister, and when you leave, Charles Tupper stays there, and you go on and you find another ghost. Maybe, but I actually think we were taking things with us, which my wife has, and I'm pretty sure Holly's boyfriend too, both of them have talked to us and said, you know, stop taking things with you, or at the very least, don't bring them home. Like whatever you do, leave them at the last location. Do not bring them home.
In the vernacular, they're called hitchhikers.
Yeah, exactly. Hitchhikers. I like that.
All right, so this raises the question here. Having started this, and remember you began this journey 9 years ago originally, did you ever bring anything home, ever? And we're going to wrap this segment in about 20 or 25 seconds. So just watch how that leads to something. So I'll ask you the question, then we can possibly get to it next time. In any of your pursuits as a ghost hunter, or Holly's pursuits, did you ever, at any time, either of you bring something home?
Yeah, I think we did.
Hey, we're going to break and find out what that is. Remind you about the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, where we've got some great episodes of After the Paracast for you to listen to. But you can only do that if you're a subscriber. plus.theparacast.com.
Paul Campbell, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in.
The Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled magmiracle.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Trying to think of the lyrics of an old novelty song from the late 50s. A dinner was served for three at Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me. Ha, ha, ha. Forget it. Anyone remember that? That goes back to the late 50s. It was a hit record.
Nope, already forgotten.
Yep. You got us on that one there, Gino.
John Zacherle?
No.
I remember Zacherle.
Yeah. Zacherle. I actually died, I think, like a year or so ago. But this is right shortly after he became a horror film host in the late 50s when Universal brought all the horror films out. And since we're in the Halloween season, we get to that. All right, so you possibly brought some things home, Paul Kimball or Holly did. Can you be specific about what might have happened?
I don't know if I could be specific in the sense, you know, I don't, here I'm sitting in a dark room down in my office, and I'm thinking, ooh, is there something coming up behind me? So,
but this may be a live haunting, folks.
Yeah, it could be a live, haunting. The no, I'm pretty sure that's Chris. That might have been Gene. I don't know.
It's not even here. What?
I think that was Nick Redfern. Nick's here after all. So
that's how he sounds with his chest cold.
Yeah. When you say you bring stuff home, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that as I'm walking down the hall of my office, which is on the bottom, you know, I live in a two-story house, or I have a two-story house. Our company's offices are in the bottom story, and the wife and I live upstairs. So does that mean as I'm walking down the halls of either the upstairs or the downstairs, I see shadow people jumping out at me or I hear sounds and stuff? No, although sometimes, maybe, it's a feeling that things have changed, that you don't view the world in the same way as you did maybe when you went in it. And there's no question, the last episode that we filmed, which involved a running kind of through line throughout the series about demonic kind of stuff, which could be tricksters, you know, or something presenting itself to us in that way, I don't know, or it could actually be real demons. Yeah, you know, you lie awake at night, I think. I do, anyway, I can't speak for Holly or Dylan or Chelsea or Jim, my brother, the other two people who are on our crew. But the thing you bring home with you, and it's why we call the series, it's why I call the series Haunted. I titled it. Could have called it Ghost Cases or Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters or, you know, a title like that. But to me, it wasn't about the ghosts. It was about us. And the haunted part isn't referencing, it was never intended to reference the houses or the places, the jails, wherever we are. It was us that were haunted. And haunted by the experiences that we have. Holly and I going into this, we're still haunted by what happened to us 9 years ago. I wrote about some of this in my book, The Other Side of Truth, back in 2012. But Holly and I have talked about it. I've talked to other friends about it. I've talked to people around the world on radio shows and stuff about it, including here, some of those experiences. I wouldn't still be talking about it if I hadn't kind of been haunted by it. And not haunted like, oh, I'm scared, you know, it's going to take me to hell or something, although who knows. But haunted because it just kind of blows your mind, and it gets you asking some really serious questions about who we are, who I am, what's our place in the universe, what's it all about, and where might we be going when it all ends. And so that's the kind of thing that you bring home with you that I'm willing to admit to and say I'm okay with that. Now, do we bring demons home with us? Or ghosts or that kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any here in the office, but I don't rule it out.
You can't rule it out, but I would say the odds are pretty long. Unless it's something very powerful.
Yeah, I'm going to run with that. I'm taking your word for it, Chris. I feel better now. That sounds good. You're an expert. I like it. Because, you know, sometimes you do sort of look at it and you say, God, whatever that was, I hope we're not bringing it home with us. Although I do think I think there's a really good chance Radio Mysterioso moment. Here comes the siren. I do think there's a really good chance that we took it from location to location. So if you're taking it from one location to another, if it's following you or hitchhiking with you, as you say, or whatever, then I think it's just as likely that it could hitchhike with you home and stick with you. And then maybe it doesn't manifest itself. Maybe it's just keeping an eye on you. Because at the moment, using my theater analogy, I'm not buying a ticket. So at the moment, I'm editing the show or stuff, but I'm not actually sitting in my office going, look, I want to have an experience. Or, look, if you're out there, like, come and talk to me now. Or, you know, let's rumble or anything like that. The kinds of things I do in haunted locations. At the moment, I'm just living my life. So maybe it only manifests itself when you actually say, okay, psychologically, mentally, here I am,
I am ready. Bring it on and whatever you've got.
And that's a good point, and I want to sort of pick up on that. I did a series of investigations in the Midwest in 2005 into 2006, and after coming back from arguably some of the most haunted sites in North America, we found that we didn't really, you know, we never really thought that we had brought anything back, or, you know, that was never a topic of conversation. We were professionals. We're, you know, down in the basement of this building where our studio was located, and which used to be a bar where there had been a catastrophic murder and other things that happened in there in the past. But, you know, we figured we were kind of we're just not buying into any potential connection, right? Well, we're working cleaning up EVPs. And it was all day we were working on these, and we went in fairly late into the night, and we're cleaning up EVPs. And, you know, we're doing this professionally. We're listening to these things without really paying too much attention to any sort of drama that might be involved. We're trying to, you know, manipulate away the noise, basically, as best we can, and bring them out. So that they'd be clear enough to broadcast. So, you know, we've got our our headphones and blinders on, basically working on that. And then at one point we took a break. Ron James and I, we took a break, and we're discussing, you know, what do you think? You think we're going to be able to pull any more out? And all of a sudden, we both looked at each other, and we both felt it simultaneously. And we had a hallway that had paper sets that were in wood frames. And they look great on camera. You can't tell that it's just paper. But all of a sudden we hear something come down the hallway rattling the paper. And there was no breeze ever down there. We had never heard this before. And the hair standing up on my arms just thinking about this. And, you know, it. Something was in that room with us. I don't know how else to describe it. And I'm kind of embarrassed I'm even admitting this, that I had that feeling. I don't think we were psyching each other out. I mean, we did everything we could to try to figure out, you know, what it could be. We tried various flipping the breakers. The lights were dimming and coming back on. We had some electrical effects.
We got Chris O'Brien, Paul Kimball, Gene Steinberg. Not about UFOs, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
ProPure water filters, most trusted, most tested. Right now, you can save 25% on the ProPure Nomad Gravity System. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer for details. That's ProPure.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. CalBend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, kind of, sort of, mostly not about UFOs. So, if you're tired of UFOs, we're trying to figure out the ghost thing, and Chris is sharing some of his encounters. Chris,
I don't know if we call them encounters. Again, I'm very, very skeptical about any sort of interpretive take on this as being hitchhikers or ghosts coming and following us. But I find it very interesting. I've been working there for almost 2 years at that point, and I never, in all the hours that I'd spent down there alone with other people at night or during the day, we had never had those types of effects, so of electrical kind of weird electrical anomalies, very clearly something coming down the hallway and rattling the paper sets. We'd never experienced that before. There was no drafts or anything in the building. So basically, Ron started to kind of get a little freaked out about it. And I said, look, you know, if you're just going to feed this thing, whatever it is, some sort of psychological thing, we should definitely just, you know, finish up for the night, you know, leave, and then come back fresh in the morning. And we did, and there was still something there that night. And so Ron, in his infinite wisdom, had, you know, a tag team of, I don't know what you call them, Sedona adepts coming in and doing cleansings of the space. And, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what they did. It was a little bit too kind of hokey for me. But whatever they did, it appeared to work, because then we continued working on the project, you know, complete with big, long EVP cleaning sessions and all sorts of things that go, as Paul knows, goes into the post-production process of producing programming. And we had nothing even close to what we experienced. So what was it? Did we bring something back? Did we have a hitchhiker? Was it just some weird coincidental anomalous thing that happened that we then fed it with our, you know, drawing attention to it, you know, between the two of us? Were we feeding off each other in creating more out of something that than really it should have been, we should have been creating. Were we co-creative in the process? Was it something independent of us? I don't know, but I'm fascinated by all this type of thing. And prior to these experiences, I had always discounted hauntings. I always thought it was just people, you know, being kind of psyching themselves out and been buying into their own fear and that sort of thing. And I was looking at these things from a very, very skeptical point of view. But I'll tell you, after really diving into this realm, I have a sense that there is something to it. What it is, as Paul said at the beginning of the show, we really don't know. We don't know what it is yet. There's no real definitive explanation, and there's probably multiple types of phenomenal events going on or causations behind these phenomenal events. It's probably not one size fits all. There's probably multiple energies or whatever operating. And I know some of our listeners hate it when they hear the word energy, but how else can you describe something like this?
That falls under the category of I concur, which is to say, you know, when I went into this, there has never been a more skeptical, less interested in ghost investigator than me, which is to say I never watched a ghost hunting show before I did this 9 years ago. Even now, I watch very little. I'm familiar with Ghost Adventures because it just amuses me. Zach Bagans, well, you know, a bit of actually a complete jerk. I have to admit, it's well put together for what it is. So I watch it the same way I watch, Kitchen Nightmares or something. It's sort of fun. And
Wait. Kitchen Nightmares?
Yeah, I'm a big Gordon Ramsay fan. Anyway, let's just.
I have no idea what that is, but go ahead.
Oh, it's a reality show. But the thing is, there were a couple of times when we would finish shooting and we would go back to usually the house we were staying at or whatever. And Dylan and I in particular, you know, just to unwind, because some of these were really emotionally draining experiences. And I can tell you about, if there's one that I would like to talk about, it would be the Queen's County Museum in Liverpool, Nova Scotia, which is the episode I'm just wrapping up now, the kickoff two-parter episode for the season. And Holly experienced what I think is the best evidence, as far as I can tell, anyone's ever recorded, on television at least, about this. And I had what I can only call the Mac Tony's experience, which months later, Greg experienced too. And we can get into that. That's a much longer story. But just to kind of finish the thought. So when you come away from something like that, and that was a really both traumatic night, especially for Holly, but also kind of a really mind-blowing, like, am I talking to Mac kind of night for me. We would go back to the house or whatever that we were staying at, and we'd put on Ghost Adventures because it would lighten the mood. It's a terrible show when it comes to treating the subject seriously. I'm Zach Bagans, and this is a demon. You know, if you want that, that's Ghost Adventures. It's not our show. You're never going to hear that on our show. But, you know, we would sit there and we'd laugh and laugh, and it would help diffuse the tension that we were all feeling. So if nothing else, Ghost Adventures was like a palate cleanser for us, because we would sit and, you know, I'd look at Dylan and I'd go, this guy's an idiot, but he's an amusing idiot. And whatever he's doing right now is either fake or it is so ramped up that you can't tell where the real experience begins and Zach Bagans, you know, the real experience ends and Zach Bagans begins. And if it seems like I'm, you know, really crapping on Zach Bagans, I am, but I also find him wildly entertaining. It's a terrible love-hate relationship I have with Zach Bagans at Ghost Adventures. But I was not a guy that watched ghost shows. I still don't, other than Zach Bagans, occasionally watch ghost shows. I don't watch Ghost Hunters. I just don't find them interesting. So, you know, people will say, well, why should we watch your show, Paul? I don't know. I probably wouldn't watch my show myself if I didn't know me. But for us, because I'm there, it does interest me. And then I kind of, you know, maybe I start to look not at ghost shows on television, but people who go out and investigate it off camera. So I have friends, many more friends now than I ever did before, who do this on a more regular basis. And those are the people. I don't want to watch, you know, the Ghost Hunters guys. I want to go out and talk to these people, find out what their experiences were. So
except for Zach Bagans, because he's wildly entertaining. So these are the folks that I kind of hang out with. And in a sense, not only do I get to make a television show about it and experience it myself with Holly and Dylan and others, but then I get all these other people that I've met on this journey, and I get to hear about their experiences. And I get to talk to them about their stories and see if there's commonalities between what they experience and what we experience, sometimes the same location even. That almost makes you a folklorist as much as a ghost investigator, that aspect of it, of collecting stories, of sharing stories, of telling stories, even if it's not on camera. So sometimes I do it on camera, but a lot of the time I still continue to do that. And folks will walk up to me and just say, when I was campaigning, mostly they wanted to talk about health care or whatever, but some people would say, yeah, don't be embarrassed by it, but this house is haunted, and I know you do a ghost show. Yeah, tell me about the show kind of thing, or tell me about the house. So, you know, it's not just a mixed bag. It's a potpourri of the paranormal, and it's really at the core fun, but it's also, I mean this, I'm not just sort of making this up or trying to sell the radio show here. Use this for your teaser, though. I mean, it's really frightening, like sometimes mind-blowingly frightening. And I had never seen Holly or heard Holly yell, like in sheer terror, until the first location we did for Haunted. And I've never seen a human being in my presence as frightened as I saw Holly. And that's the kind of experience you can have, too.
Well, if you want to be frightened out of your wits, yeah. Does it ever discourage her at all? If she's that frightened, is she still willing to go through it again, or does she have to be psyched up?
No, Holly's a trooper. So, you know, Holly was right back at it the next day kind of thing. If there's anybody who's going to quit, it's going to be me. In fact, there's more than one time during the first season, usually kind of jokingly, I'd sort of be joking around, but half serious, I said, this is it. At the end of the first season, I'm done. Like, for the same reasons I left, you know, 9 years ago.
I'm going to ask about that. We've got more to come with Paul Kimball. Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters, starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available. Comfortable interiors and state-of-the-art air filtration systems. Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now, or visit AtlasSurvivalShelters.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled magmiracle.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we've got Paul Kimball, and we're exploring haunted places, haunted houses. Now, when you talk about the experiences you've had, it kind of goes against the grain, which is the perception that a haunted house is being populated by the spirit of some person who lived there and after dying just couldn't get away. But you're talking about something else.
Right.
Or is there a resemblance with that?
Could be. It could be the spirit of somebody who died and lived there. I'm sort of notorious for saying that, and I think I said this earlier in the show, I would like to think that if there's an afterlife, it's more interesting than that. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that's my own belief system. That's what I bring into it. Part of that, too, is also based on my experiences where I see commonalities from location to location, and I go, you know, I think this is more about us. It's more about, as Greg Bishop would say, his co-creation hypothesis, that we're working with something and maybe it's working with us and it's continuing over. We bought a ticket to this movie theater that is doing 13 episodes of Haunted per season. And as we go along through that, it's traveling with us. And then when we're done, maybe it goes off and only returns when we enter the movie theater again. I don't know, but I have very good friends. Linda Rayfuse, for instance, who's a paranormal investigator here in Nova Scotia, helped us out with some of the episodes. She runs a group called the This is terrible. Oh, I can't remember the name of her group. Terrible, terrible. Sorry, Linda. But she's from Liverpool, Nova Scotia. She's actually the director of the Queens County Museum, which was one of the haunted sites we went to. And she's firmly convinced that these are the spirits of, you know, dead people that are living in her museum or somebody's house or whatever. And that's fine. You know, she and I don't argue about it. We just look at it in different ways and see different things. Maybe we're both right. Or maybe, you know, more likely I'm right. Sorry, Linda, just kidding. But, you know, there's space enough within that to say that both of us could be right, while at the same time both of us could be wrong. It could be something else. I'm more interested in the experience, usually, than trying to figure out what it is. So I'm more of a chronicler of the experiences. And then it's like, you know, you can do this too. So anybody listening, if you want to come to Nova Scotia, and you want to go to the Queens County Museum, which is a public museum, you can just walk in. They don't even charge admission, although they do request a donation. You can go to the same rooms, pretty much all the same rooms, except for the attic, where we were. And
you know, I'm pretty sure Linda would be cool if you wanted to put out an EVP, you know, an audio recorder and see if you could get some sort of EVP or have some sort of communication. So you can go to a lot of these places that we go to and try and have those same experiences yourself, which I also think is pretty cool. And, you know, you can go to the places Zach Bagans is going and try and have the experiences that he's having. So there is that element to it where, you know, we can all share in this experience. And I think that's a little different than the UFO phenomenon, which is maybe why I like the ghost thing more. Because if there is something to it, I think we can summon the ghost thing. I think we can become part of it.
Well, whereas it's also location specific, too.
That's the thing, Chris. I'm not sure it is. I'm not sure that the locations are necessarily, and maybe in some cases they are, but I like the hitchhiker thing. I'm going to use that in season two. You know, the idea, or in the narration of season one, the idea that you're traveling with it. So it's part of your crew almost, and it's coming along with you. Maybe it is location specific, but I'm not sure that it is.
Lately, I've been really diving into researching Jerome, Arizona, which was one of the most important copper mining towns. In the world, actually, if you've ever seen an American wheat penny, that copper came from Jerome.
Cool place. I've been there, and I had a film screen there last year at their film festival. Love Jerome. Great place.
Yeah, I've been really diving into the history of the place, and I've been talking to the Historical Society folks that are really up on the haunted site element to this. I'm pretty convinced that there are some very, very specific places in Jerome that have and feature unusual ghost-like, if you will, phenomena. And it doesn't really vary that much. Maybe people's expectations have something to do with that. I'm not sure. But when you have people that are not that up to speed and familiar with what's been reported there, reporting the same thing that's been reported for years, it's kind of hard not to kind of make the leap that maybe everybody's picking up on something that is present there. So I'm not sure. I think the jury's still out, but I've been slowly pulled in that direction. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree with you and say that the jury is still out on that. I don't rule it out. You know, I don't know. I actually kind of like that explanation better because it means it's not coming home with me. You know, it's not following me. So that actually is a pretty cool. That's fine. I just think it's a little weirder than that, and it might be both. Both things might be true. You know, let me go back to my tired and cliched movie theater thing. If I want to go watch a movie, I can't do it on the corner of Roby Street North Street here in Halifax. There's no movie theater there. I actually have to go out and drive to where there's a movie theater and then enter it. That is a particular place where I can have that particular experience. If I want to go see a baseball game, I have to go to the baseball field down the street from me. That kind of thing. So, sure, you know, maybe there are particular places that are, for whatever reason, put this word in quotation marks, haunted or experientially oriented, if you want. Call them portals. Maybe they're portals.
Yeah, exactly. And certain individuals may have some sort of quality about them, as yet, you know, undefined, that may give whatever it is that's there, whatever energy, spirit form, you know, whatever, however you want to call it, possibly give them permission to manifest, or possibly provoke them for some unknown reason. There seems to be a cause and effect relationship between certain individuals and the type of things that are being reported. For instance, there's quite a number of dwellings in Jerome that are considered to be haunted. The people obviously living in these dwellings are the ones that have to deal with it. And we have a couple of very interesting cases where, you know, people move out, other people move in. They're not aware of the type of activity that's been reported in the past. People are reluctant to tell them, especially real estate agents who try to want to close the deal, that sort of thing. So I think a lot of this is downplayed in many haunted site areas in terms of changing of ownership. And invariably, you know, at least in a couple that I know of, I'm not sure about all of them, but invariably in a couple of these locations, the same type of phenomenal occurrences are being reported by people that, and you're never sure if somebody heard a story or not and whether that impacted their later on experiences. But to the best of my knowledge, these people were experiencing the same thing that had already been experienced before by others without the foreknowledge of those experiences. So there's kind of ways to maybe set up little experiments to maybe test some of these ideas and theories. And I think more work needs to be done in this regard, try to look at it more scientifically, as opposed to sitting there and maximizing your potential with creeping yourself out and having cameras rolling, which I'm glad that, and I, knowing you, Paul, I know that that's not the approach you take. But, you know, I stopped watching the ghost shows 10 years ago. I really got fed up. I watched a couple of Amy Allen's Dead Files shows because I know Amy is the real deal. I've worked with her in the past before she became this TV celebrity. She's very, very talented. I've got slam dunk evidence that she picked up on stuff that I think there are individuals that do have a knack for this sort of thing. I think they have natural abilities and sensitivities that the rest of us don't have. But again, I think that the shows are doing the subject a disservice. I know it's entertainment, but the more science you can bring to bear and the more well thought out experiments, I think, that are enacted, I think that that's going to possibly bring a little bit more legitimacy to the whole field. And also, it may be opening up potential vistas of new information.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with that. My only comment would be, and I do not mean this to sound the way it's about to sound, but it's the only way I can think of to phrase it. Don't care. Like, you know, I'm not a scientist, so there's a limit to what I can do. I'm a television guy, and I have to work within the medium within which I work. So for me, and it's kind of the reason I don't go to church. So, and that will make sense in a second, I hope. Like, I haven't gone to church in, I don't know, 40 years since my parents said, yeah, you can stop going to church. Because I'm just not interested in having people talk to me or, you know, I'm familiar and well-versed in theology and philosophy and those kinds of things on my own and through my university studies. But what I'm much more interested in, I decided, was in reading the stories of people who have had claimed to have had direct spiritual experiences. And I spent a fair amount of time in college studying a guy named Henry Allen, a great evangelist here in the 18th century in Nova Scotia.
Paul Kimbo, Chris O'Brien, Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.